Chorus, keep on walking by faith as we open our Bibles to Psalm 66. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me, He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me, He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. One more time. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me, He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Let's give the Lord a hand praise today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. We are opening our Bibles to the book of the Psalms, Psalm 66. And we're going to go all the way down to verse 16. Psalm 66, 16. And we're going to call this message this morning the Declaration of the Soul. Father in heaven, we thank Thee that we can be here now and open Thy Word together. And I pray that Thou wouldst do a notable miracle in every heart this morning. O Lord, I pray that Thou wouldst draw us ever closer to Thee as the day approaches, even the day of Thy great coming. For we know, O Lord, that this world is ending rapidly. Everything is winding down, and we know, O God, that very soon Thou wilt break open the skies and the great trumpet will sound. Help us, O Lord, I pray this morning that we would search our own hearts, that Thou wouldst prepare us, O God, and that Thou wouldst help us to be ready for that great event. And, O Lord, I pray now that Thou wouldst give us ears to hear Thy word. Let Satan be bound, rebuked, cast out, and made powerless in Thy holy presence. For Thou art the living God, and there is none else, and there is no God beside Thee. Thou art He that liveth forever and ever. And I pray, O God, that Thou wouldst now give us those ears to hear, that mind and heart that would perceive and understand, that we would glorify Thee, O God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that Thy will would be done here in this assembly, and also those that are listening by means of the internet all over this world, and all those, O Lord, that will hear it later on recording. I pray that Thou wouldst touch their hearts as well. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. King David is writing in the Psalms, in Psalm 66, the 16th verse, and he says, "Come and hear." There's a call there. Come and hear. Hear what? He says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul." Before I read the next verse, I want you to ask yourself that question. What has God done for my soul? Amen. You know, some people, you talk to them and they're doing well on their job, or maybe they bought a new home or built one or whatever, driving a brand new car, or came into some money or whatever. They think they're doing quite well. And you hear the prosperity preachers on the internet or on the television, if you've got one of those idiot lanterns, and you listen to these guys preach, and the measurement of whether you're doing well or not is how much you have. How much wealth do you have? What has God done for you? Has He given you a new Buick? Or some kind, you know, that sort of a thing. And people measure success by that. You know, they have this measurement. You sit down with an accountant, with a CPA. They take all of your assets and your liabilities, and they figure out what your net worth is. And, of course, when they factor in your life insurance, they determine you're worth more dead than you are alive. That's what insurance does to you. It changes that bottom line, doesn't it? So anyway, they add this all up. They do some adding, subtracting, say you're worth X number of dollars. That's what you're worth. But what did Jesus say? A man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things he possesseth. Right? You don't measure value that way. The world does it. And the banksters look at it and see what you're worth, see if they can loan you some money. Oh, by the way, have you noticed the banks aren't paying much of any interest anymore? You know what that's a sign of? That's socialism. You know why? Why should they pay you interest when they can get money free from the government? They used to have this thing called a rediscount rate where they had to borrow from the Federal Reserve and pay to get money to loan to you. And then they valued the depositor's money. Now they don't care. They don't care about you at all because we live in a socialistic state, which is really Marxist socialism, which is in effect communism. You see, Memorial Day is tomorrow, they say. We've lost our country. What's to remember? In fact, they don't want you to remember any truth. We have been seized upon and taken over. But my point this morning is this. No matter what you have or have not, or what you would desire to have, one thing we must always bear in mind is the Lord has done something for our soul, and it's incumbent upon us to declare what it is. You know, there was a man, and we'll get into this a little bit later some more, but there was a man who was up in years. Well, he was more than 40 years old, the Bible tells us, and he had never walked a day in his life because he was born lame. He was a cripple. And he sat at the gate, Solomon's porch, and he had to live on whatever people would give him. And one day Peter and John came along. It was the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Remember the story? And they walked over and saw this man who was asking alms. And the apostle Peter looked at him. John was standing there with him. Can you imagine this? And I'll tell you, Peter was not the first pope. One of the reasons I know that is he didn't have any money. Okay? They say the pope died a poor man. Well, I don't doubt that. You can't take anything out of this world. But all that gold he was wallowing in all his life, you know, that's a different story, isn't it? Well, anyway, Peter, and by the way, Peter had a mother-in-law. So much for that. But Peter and John standing with him, they looked at this man and they fastened their eyes on him. They locked eyes. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." Nothing. And this man was asking alms, but he said, "I don't have anything to give you that's silver and gold. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand, and the Bible says God did a notable miracle. His feet and his ankle bones received strength. Amen. That power from God, that dunamos is the Greek word for power or for virtue. Dunamos, from which you get the word dynamite or dynamo. He received power from on high. And the Bible says he stood up and he not only walked. Now there's a notable miracle. This man had never walked in his life. He would have to learn to walk, but God taught him how instantly. He began walking and leaping and praising God. He went into the temple worshiping. It shook everybody up. What was this man doing? He was declaring that God had done something for his soul. Something happened on the inside. And this is what David is talking about in the Psalms. He says, "I will declare. I'll declare it. I want everybody to know it. Come in here," he said. And verse 17 says, "I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue." To extol means to highly praise. Do you ever get into that where you're highly praising God? That's why we sing songs. That's why we lift our hands. And we want everybody to know it. This thing was not done in a corner. We want people to know that God has done something for our souls. We have nothing to show off to people. Do we, really? Nothing. But we have something to declare unto them that God has done for us on the inside. Besides, if you think you've got wealth, you really don't. You think our dollar's worth anything? Boy, are you under a delusion if you think so. As a matter of fact, Barack Obama finally admitted that we're broke. I don't know if you heard about that. It was on the 22nd, last Friday. He had an interview on C-SPAN, and he said, "We are out of money right now." Well, we knew that, didn't we? But it's nice to have him admit it. And he went on to say, with the deficit in our budget of $1.7 trillion, you know what that means? The government is spending $1.7 trillion more than they can possibly take in. That's called going backwards. Do you know what they would do to you if you did that? And then with the $12 trillion, that's just about what it is now, national debt. Do you realize that light traveling in a straight line in an entire year only travels 6 trillion miles, and we've got a $12 trillion national debt, and the speed it travels at is 186,000 miles per second. These are unfathomable, astronomical in a literal sense, figures. And of course, Obama said, well, the reason that we've got this little problem is, he said, we had to spend money to buy back our economy. Now think about the lunacy of that statement. You've got to spend money you don't have that's already worthless to buy back worthless money. But people think, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, we've got to spend to buy it back. The things that are being said and the things that are being accepted are enough to boggle your mind. How can any massive group of people, how can such a population be so dense as to think that good would come of this? But they do. And you know why? Because they don't know their Bibles. Do you know how many ignoramuses are out there? Am I being a little too graphic this morning? If I am, tough. All these churches full of people that are spiritually dense. They don't know their Bibles. They'll believe anything you tell them regarding that religion. They go through their catechism course. They go through the motions. They don't even think about what's happening. They just do it, if they go at all. We are in a world that is in such terrible condition. It's ready for judgment. And there are very few people that will openly declare that God has done something for their soul. No, they're not going to buy back the economy, spend money to buy it back. Now, things are really fixed up, aren't they? The auto industry is thriving. No, it's about dead, isn't it? Everything is changing, but is it for the better? Now, they closed up two more banks last Friday. Did you ever notice they always close banks on a Friday? That's because that's the day the witches have their esbits, you know. It's all tied. It's all occult. It's all by occult plan and design. They go by the stars. In fact, Obama said that this health plan that he's coming out with, he wants this thing on his desk by the last day of July, which is the witch's Sabbath of Lunasa, the harvest festival of the souls, right? And he went on to show the occult flavor of this thing. He said, the time is now for this health plan. We must do it this year because the stars are aligned. That's his reason for it. The stars are lined up. You tell them and you tell them, and people cannot believe this country is run by witchcraft. I'm not saying every politician is a witch. The witches own them. And through the Catholic Order of the Jesuits, a secret society, and the Masonic influence. You know, I was in the Masonic House of the Temple one time in Washington, D.C. Once was enough on that one. They thought I was a Mason. In fact, they wanted me to sign their book on the way out. He should have asked me on the way in if he wanted to know if I was a Mason. He said, by the way, what degree are you? I said, I'm not a Mason. That's after he showed me everything. And I said to him, now, he was 33rd degree Scottish Rite, a little Jewish man, little short man with a name tag on there and all dressed up. You know, he was the guide to take us through the house of the temple. And he's the one where I mentioned Jesus, and he said, we don't use that name around here. Anyway, I got him a little ruffled. Too bad, huh? Yeah, we do. Yeah, amen. That kind of showed where he's coming from. It's not a Christian group, is it? Well, they don't claim to be. They say any religion will do. Just like Obama. Any religion will do. Believe what you want. He'll be a Jew. He'll be a Hindu. He'll be a so-called Christian. He'll be whatever you want him to be. He's everything to everybody. Makes me wonder if someday he's not going to be over there in the state of Israel and drive up in his beast mobile and try to walk into some temple and say, here I am. Well, he's always driving around. His car is the beast, isn't it? Didn't they give it that name? Yeah, it's his beast mobile. You know, if you look at everything this guy is doing, it'll really, and you know your Bible, you can see so many parallels here that it will shock you and amaze you. I wish more people knew their Bibles. I wish they would read their Bibles. King James, otherwise don't bother. Come on, we don't need some perverted text. We want the Word of God, the one He preserved. I don't have time to go into a lengthy dissertation on why these others are not Bibles at all, but isn't it just like Satan to give you 31 flavors? Everything that is false comes in plurals. Truth is always singular. One true church, many false churches. One true Bible, many false Bibles. One true God, many false gods. Right? Truth is always absolute. It's not relative. It is absolute truth. This is the way it is. No variations. And we need to remember that. But anyway, it was now looking at Obama, he's claiming he's going to fix this whole thing up. In fact, he was so proud of his first 100 days in office that he said in the second 100 days, he said, I'm going to build a library in honor of everything I did in the first 100 days. And then in my second 100 days, I'm going to be so efficient, I'm taking his own words now, that I'll complete my second 100 days in 72 days. And on the 73rd day, I will rest. You see can you hear the serpent hissing? Huh? And what is that 73rd day when he claims he will rest? July 11th, 7-11-09. And Satanism, you invert the numbers. 9-11, 7 designating Sabbath of rest for Obama. What's he planning? What's he got up his sleeve? You know, this goes on and on. Do you think these numbers are coincidental? They sit down, they plan this out, they choreograph this. They got big plans for the population of America. In fact, now they said that WHO, WHO, World Health Organization, controlled by the United Nations, and I've been in that monstrosity four or five times maybe. I've been to New York 14 times. I believe I was at the UN 5 times. And all through it, the whole works, had the whole tour, asked him a lot of questions, nearly got thrown out, almost got arrested. Well, if you ask the wrong questions, they don't like that. They switched guides on me that one time. This guide was taking us through, and she was from Red China. She said, no, China. I said, no, Red China. Is it still communist? She said, well, yeah. I said, then it's red. They don't call it that anymore, do they? She said, no, the Cold War is over. So the red kind of just dissolved, see? So I was asking her all these incriminating questions, and about halfway through the tour, they pulled her out. She was wearing a wire, so they could hear everything we were saying. There were about 20 of us in the group. They pulled her out, put somebody else in, and the one they put in there must have had rusty razor blades for breakfast because her personality was not good. And she was a take-charge woman. She was one of those hear-me-roar people. She grew up in the UN. Her parents were UN officials. And she was UN all her life. And I'll never forget, she looked at me one time, and I was asking questions about food control and so forth. She said, "Let me tell you something," being very authoritative. "Those stamps that are on your food for freshness are not for freshness." I can still hear her just looking at me, saying, "That's so we know where everything is and how much of it is where, and it's all for allocation purposes. Even your water has an expiration date. H2O expires. You know, bottled water? One of the signs that you're living in a third world country is when you have to drink bottled water." Oh, yes. There's big money in water, isn't there? Yeah, it's going that way, isn't it? Anyway, the World Health Organization, by the way, she said that, I said, when you go into, I was asking all these questions they didn't like. And I said, when you go into an impoverished country and you're going to feed these people and they're starving to death, I said, what are your requirements? She said, for one thing, they all have to be immunized. I said, what if they refuse the immunization? What if they don't want to be victims of vaccinicide? All right? What if they, she said, then they starve. We won't feed them. Nice bunch, huh? And, you know, they're very high profile. Look at us, we saved the world, this kind of thing. But now the World Health Organization has announced that the H1N1, so-called swine flu, has reached a point where it is now a warning level 5. And they identify that warning level 5 as meaning imminent pandemic. And our government just released $1 billion to various companies to produce a vaccine by next month. And they want everybody vaccinated for this thing. Right? That's moving pretty fast. One thing I'll say about Obama in all of his dirty work, he's moving fast. He's not wasting any time at all. He's destroying everything that's any good, everything that has any virtue to it. He's there to destroy it as fast as he can. And he surrounded himself with a bunch of criminals and crooks of the first magnitude. Now, Hillary Clinton's expected to get up in a speech today and announce that all government officials that are homosexuals and lesbians will be given preferential treatment and special benefits and entitlements and so forth. That's going to be done today. I just heard that in the radio this morning. And Hillary's the one who's going to announce it. All ambassadors, and anybody connected with the U.S. government all throughout the world, they're going to get a nice little gift wrap package of benefits today, such as you couldn't imagine. It goes from bad to worse, doesn't it? You know, if we had to look at all the things going on in this world right now, and that's all we had, if you didn't know the Lord, and you were out there, just one of them, what hope would you have? That is why David in the Psalm said, "I will declare what God hath done for my soul." We've got something that they didn't give us. God gave it to us, and they can't take it away. And I'm talking about His Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. They can't give it, and they can't take it. Amen? Yeah, you know, as we move along this timeline, I'm just looking to see what is next, and I'm almost afraid to ask what's next. It isn't going to devastate me no matter what they do, because I'm walking with the Lord. And I think it's time for you and I and all of us to be like David and say, I will declare. I'll declare it. I'll let everybody know God has done something for my soul. You know, I remember back when Governor Doyle, down in Mr. Embarrassment, down in the state capitol, made his State of the State speech. And actually, he said this in a number of speeches as well, this particular quote, when he was running for governor. He said that he's open to all options, no matter what they are, except for one. He said, we must not, we will not, we cannot raise taxes. What is a promise to such a charlatan? And that's all he's done is raise taxes ever since he got in. If you look, just take one quick look at him, and the first word by association that'll hit your brain is crook. Try it. You can see the man is crooked. But then again, they all work together, don't they? What am I saying? Now, tomorrow's Memorial Day, they'll have parades up the street and bands playing and flags waving. You know, it's enough to make you nauseous. All this declaration of, look who we are. We're the Americans. We're the good guys. We have saved the world. We are the great providers of the world. We are the great purveyors of good things. And we are a nation that kills babies on a wholesale basis, sells their parts, sells the extracts from the aborted babies to make cosmetics. We are the ones that are causing this autism epidemic through immunizations. They now said that 1 in 20 children are autistic. Come on! I mean, I can't believe that figure. Now, they say they can treat it somewhat. They're figuring things. It comes from the immunizations. They're not born that way. I've talked with numerous people who have had children, and they were fine until they were immunized. Then they became autistic. Why? Because all immunizations are made from decomposed protein, from the pustules of sick animals, from rotten egg extract, thimerosal, which is mercury, carbolic acid, which is phenol, and various other ingredients that'll do you in. And then they wonder where these epidemics, well, where's all this cancer coming from? Where's all this, these other diseases and arthritis and autism? And everybody's sick, but Obama's going to fix it. The end of July, he wants that on his desk. He's going to sign it, and everybody's going to be covered. And of course, one of the hitches is the government will have all medical records in a central computer in Washington, and doctors cannot treat you their own way. They have to follow the instructions of the federal government. Did you know that? They can't exercise any options. They are given a regimen of treatment from the computer in Washington on how you are to be treated, what you are to take, what you are to do. Is Big Brother calling? No, I'm glad we can be here this morning and know that the Lord has done something for our soul. I will declare it, David said. Now, he said in verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Again, I say, I know I hit Obama pretty hard, but he deserves it. Somebody better tell it like it is. Do you think that man regards iniquity in his heart? That man is saturated with iniquity. And he's making it known. And people can't tell the difference. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. What is David doing? He's putting himself in another realm entirely. And didn't Jesus say that we, as his children, are in this world, but we're not of this world? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all, come on now, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We don't want what they've got. I need to declare to this world, the Lord has done something for my soul. Come on. I don't want their indoctrinational system. I don't want their liquor. I don't want their tobacco. I don't want their immunizations. I don't want their programs. They are doing their thing. I don't want their dope. I don't want anything to do with their abortuaries or any of their political things. It's all satanic through and through, top side and bottom side. I'm telling you, whether you're Democrat, or Republican, or anything else, it's all the same. It's all run by the devil, the whole works. And if you read your Bible, you would know that. And if you study the Word of God and you look around you, you can see, you can understand that Satan has been walking to and fro, not only in the earth, but especially in this country and up and down in it. And the blasphemy that comes out of the leadership of this country is amazing. But all of that tells me it can't go on much longer, thank God. I don't know about you, but this world has no attraction for me. I'm looking for the Lord to come. Until he does, I will occupy, I will preach, I will declare to the people that the Lord has done something for my soul. Let's go back. In our Bibles, to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Now, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, sometimes better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were living in a one-world empire, Babylon, just as we now live in the United States of Babylon. I don't know if anybody heard me say that. I know you're busy turning your pages. But they lived in Babylon as an empire, just as we live in the United States of Babylon. All right? Now, I want you to see some parallels here, and I want you to see what happened to these three Hebrew men. It starts out by saying in chapter 3, verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, that's 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. Now, of course, a cubit was measured approximately from the bend of the elbow to the longest finger, so it's about considered to be 18 inches on average, 3/6, 18, all right? But anyway, if you look at the dimensions here, this is a rather interesting little thing. It was 60 by 6. And that meant it was approximately 90 feet tall. If you look at some of these high-rise dormitories at the university, they're just about 110 feet tall. So it's a pretty good-sized statue, especially since it was made of gold. All right? Boy, I'll tell you what, not even Fort Knox could cough up that much. In fact, there isn't really any gold in Fort Knox anyway. There's maybe one or two little bags full, and the rest are empty vaults. You knew that, didn't you? That gold's all gone. And it wasn't used to fill teeth either. It's gone. They want you to think it's there, just like they want you to think your dollar has value. Your dollar, the intrinsic value of your dollar is estimated to be a 1/100th of a cent. Because that's what it costs to print it as it's mass-produced. And I watch them roll off the presses when I was at the Bureau of Engraving. It costs the same amount of money to print a $100 bill or a $1 bill, or a 20 or a 10 or a 5. Same amount. Doesn't that tell you something? If I held up a gold piece, 1 ounce, in front of you, that little coin, I could tell you that when I was a child, you could buy one for 25 paper dollars. Now it takes almost 1,000 of them. So is your money really worth anything? Your bankruptcy notes? Your excuses for debt? You know, excusing of debt, rather. You know how it works. I've mentioned it here before. Nobody is really using money anymore. Everybody's excusing each other's debt for the acceptance of paper. If you owe somebody some money, you say, here are these Federal Reserve notes. Take this paper. And they say, okay, I'll accept that. I'll excuse your debt. Because they can go and buy things with it, and their debt will be excused. And then the store will have their debt to the supplier excused, and the supplier has his debt to the manufacturer excused because they're exchanging paper. Now they even don't even use paper. It's really just computer impulses. But the point is, it's not money anymore. It has no intrinsic value to speak of. Legal tender, as it says on your notes in your pocketbook, legal tender isn't money. It's excuse for debt. I like those bills they used to have, the U.S. Treasury notes. Remember those years ago? Where it said right on there, and I've got some in my safe. I've got some I collected. And it says right on there, this note redeemable for lawful money at any U.S. Treasury or bank. Redeemable for lawful? But then what do I have in my hand if this is redeemable for lawful money? What am I holding? The Constitution says only gold and silver is lawful money. But the Constitution means nothing to them anymore. In fact, Obama couldn't even say it straight when he took the oath to preserve, protect, and defend it. He couldn't even lie right. He couldn't even get the error right. It's amazing. But anyway, just so we know where we stand. And when I tell you all these things, I'm trying to lay out reality before you according to Scripture, because judgment is coming. And like I said, I don't want what they've got. I don't want to dance with their stars. I'm not interested in their American Idol. People out there are wrapped up in this stuff. They talk about it Monday morning when they go to work. Oh, Dancing with the Stars, American Idol. Who's going to win this? Who wants to be a millionaire? I'm not interested. You know why? The Lord has done something for my soul. And everything you've got right now could be taken away from you tomorrow. And if you own your house and it's paid off, you still don't own it. You got to rent it every year in the form of taxes. Right? And if you don't think so, try not paying them once and see if you own it. They have got everything taxed. They're raising taxes. They're creating new taxes. You know what happens when they run out of things to tax? They tax the tax. It's called a surtax. You ever hear that? A surtax? We've had them in Wisconsin. I mean, after all, if you run out of things to tax, what are you going to do? You got to tax the tax. And after that, you're going to tax the surtax. I'm waiting for that one. The Lord has done something for my soul. Otherwise, I wouldn't have anything that I could put my trust in. What am I doing? I'm trying to pull away everybody's foundation here and create a new one. Jesus Christ. He is the solid rock that we must be founded upon. So Nebuchadnezzar made this image. We're in Daniel 3. Made this image of gold. It was 60 cubits high. The breadth thereof was 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Big idol. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province. Sounds like the Masonic Lodge to me. Huh? They had Masonic doctrine back there. They might not have had the official free and accepted Masons, but they had their doctrine back there. They had their honoring of Nimrod back there, didn't they? True, Albert Pike wasn't born yet. But they still had all the tenets and fundamentals of Masonry back here. In fact, that's where modern Masonry, if you can call it that, took all of its roots from. I know they say Solomon's Temple, but and they really pervert that as well, don't they? Now, so they called all these, anybody who was anybody was there. For what? It says to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Everybody's got to come to the dedication of the idol. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers. Hey, how many of these kind of guys can you find today that aren't Masons? Not many. The counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces. Do you ever notice when you look around the United States of Babylon here, all these people, they're all in that same club? Have you ever noticed the teeth of the beast in this system? They've got a woman locked up right now with felony neglect because her daughter had dental problems and she didn't have the money to get them fixed. They said she had, the little girl had what they call bottle mouth. The teeth were decaying, which is somewhat common. It does happen out there. But they ordered her, one of the teachers at school looked at her, and they ordered her to go to the dentist. She went to the dentist. The dentist, of course, they charge a lot of money. You know, they're not cheap. And of course, they said, okay, it's going to cost X number of dollars to fix this little child up. She said, I don't have it. Well, it's got to be done. Well, she said, I just don't have the money. And she landed in jail without bail. Felony neglect. There's a man crossing the border from British Columbia into the United States. The border guard stopped him. They stop everybody, you know. And the border guard said, get out of the car. And this guy said, can't you say please? And they sprayed him with pepper spray right in his eyes. He wasn't giving him, he just said, you know, he was accustomed. And I've heard some police officers say, would you please step out of the car? Would you? He said, can't you say please? No questions asked. Nail him with a pepper spray. Resisting, you know. See, that's the kind of spirit that's out there. And these are not isolated incidents. They love their tasers, you know. 80-year-old women tasing them 2-3 times. They've killed people with those things. So I'm just saying, there is a vicious spirit out there. It's a sign of the times. Now, just so we're aware of these things. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was going to show his complete intolerance. He could be a nice guy if you worshipped his idol. But if you don't worship his idol, you are the scum of the earth. You are the enemy. You're an enemy combatant. You're a societal terrorist. They like to use that word terrorist, don't they? See, if I'm writing my newsletter, see, I'm a paper terrorist. My newsletter has now been banned from, 45 prisons? Contraband, the inmates can't read it. And one of the chaplains said, because of what you said about Obama, they can't have the newsletter. 45 of them. Other chaplains welcome it. And if the inmates can't get it through the chaplain, we'll send it to them. We'll make other arrangements. But my newsletter is contraband. Oh, they can have a lot of other stuff. That's downright filthy, but they can't have my newsletter. I'd gotten a letter quite a while back now. It's from the Jackson prison over in Michigan, saying that the newsletter, the Last Trumpet newsletter, is contraband because it contains information about the New World Order. It was right in their official letter. Well, somebody better make some noise about it. We're being taken over. The country's being destroyed. We're going into a Luciferian one-world government rapidly. What boggles my mind is there's so many people who don't care. As long as they got their 12-pack and their Green Bay Packers and their box of pretzels, they're as happy as a woodpecker in a lumberyard. They don't care. Then the princes and the governors, I'm in verse 3, and captains and judges and treasurers and counselors, the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They stood right in front of this big thing, looked up at it, 90 feet in the air. I remember when I stood at the Washington Monument and looked up at this big concrete structure. And I thought, what a piece of masonry. And as I went up the steps in this thing, at every landing, they had a dedication plaque for every lodge in the United States. Had a little plaque. That Washington Monument contains a little, it's about 3 inches long, 1.5 inches high, and it has the name of the lodge of every lodge in America, and it's in that monument. And I stood out there, I said, Lord, rebuke this thing, let it crack, let it crumble, in Jesus' name. And then I went home, and 33 days later, I picked up the newspaper, and they said, Washington Monument has large crack in it, 33 feet long and 6 feet deep. So they put a Band-Aid on it. And I saw it all wrapped up with this blue stuff, and they were re-cementing it. Remember that? Scaffolding up there? And they got it all fixed up, and I went back again for another hit. And I prayed again. And then got the news. It cracked again. The repair failed, and it cracked again. Thought, well, praise the Lord. Now, that's twice. Maybe I ought to go back again. The Lord will do it eventually. 555 feet high. They call it the pyramid in the air. At the top of it, of course, is a pyramid. And you've got that long shaft there, the shaft of Baal. That is a filthy, rotten object. That is the reproductive organ of Baal. Literally, that's what obelisk means. Obelisk. Architecturally, it's obelisk. Obelisk, shaft of Baal. I tell people that and they say, oh, no, no, that isn't right. That can't be. Well, it is. Look at the etymology of the word itself. It'll tell you. It's an Egyptian symbol. The reproductive organ of the sun god. And that's supposed to be an honorable thing? Not in my book. I guess it must be Memorial Day coming up, talking about these things. They got the reflecting pool there, just like they had in Pharaoh's court. They've got the Capitol building with its goat's head, complete with horns and beard. Oh, they've got that whole thing, compass and square, and the street plan laid out there. That is really quite a place. The United States of Babylon. So now, here, all of these officials, ancient form of the Freemasons, they're standing looking at this big idol that was set up. Gold. They were going to worship the gold. Their souls were valued by the worship of that gold. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations and languages. Sounds like a one-world government. They wouldn't be interested in that today, would they? Getting it all together? Have one religion? One world army, one world navy, one world government, one world bank, one world everything. All one big thing, but who is at the top? It isn't Jesus. He said, my kingdom's not of this world. He said, your house is left unto you desolate. Now, this is all the working of Satan and all the events that you see happening right now and you read about in your newspaper or you hear on the radio. All of these current events are a result of the race against time as Satan moves quickly to set this up because he knows he hath but a short time. The book of Revelation tells you that. That's why these things are moving so fast. That's why the Lord's going to cut it short in righteousness. Didn't he say it? For the elect's sake, those days shall be what? Shortened? Some people say, Lord, why is it taking so long for you to come? Hey, he's shortening the time. Come on. We don't have a good concept of time because we're too focused in on other things. We can't understand even just a little about what eternity would be because we're too preoccupied with time, which is only the tiniest little piece of eternity calibrated and measured off. He says that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. You're all going to have to bow to this thing. To the sound of the Babylonian music. Is there any of that nowadays? Have you noticed what they call music? They call it music. I remember in band class, I played the double B-flat, still play a double B-flat bass horn. And I remember one of the first things we had to learn is the definition of music. And I still remember my band director saying, the definition of music is a series of sound pleasing to the ears. Now, by that definition, how much of that out there is music? Banging away and pounding away. Do you ever, that bass, you can hear it a half a mile up the road. What is coming? I sit in my office sometimes and I hear this. It just, you feel it pound in your heart. Boom, 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 boom. This rumbling bass. And they're sitting right in it. I mean, their ears are right there. Someone put headphones on in the dormitories and listened to that. Can you imagine what that would do to a set of eardrums? They might as well take the other end of that headphone and plug it into the microwave. That's going to fry their brain. Verse 6 says, and whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And I'm going to tell you this right now, that Christians and the true people of God, Old Testament Christians, New Testament Christians, there are both, were always persecuted and killed, not because of what they were doing, but because of what they refused to go along with. Now you think about that. We are persecuted for what we refuse to get involved in, for what we refuse to do. As I said before, I don't want to dance with their stars, and I'm not interested in their American idol any more than I'd be interested in Nebuchadnezzar's idol. And then take whatever they've got in their syringes, take a long walk off a short plank. A billion of our tax dollars, how are they going to come up with that vaccine by next month? They had it already. This was all choreographed and just waiting to happen. They got it all laid out, this whole timeline. And these guys lie through their false teeth.
Yeah, I think a lot of them have either that or floss teeth, whatever. They're lying through it. You can see it. Look at their faces. Look at the color coding of their ties. Watch their lapel pins. Remember Hillary's lapel pin? That is supposed to be an eagle, but it was really a phoenix clutching a globe. We've got the whole world. Did you ever hear her cackle? Anybody? On the radio or anywhere? How many ever heard Hillary Clinton cackle? I'm telling you, cold chills going up and down your spine. In fact, I nearly froze. She cackles like a witch. And she's still mad ever since that house fell on her sister. Verse 7. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, notice all the people, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. They all did it. Except three. You wonder where Daniel was? A lot of people ask that question. Well, Daniel must have bowed. No, Daniel didn't bow. He had already been appointed as one of the... God had put him in this position. He was sitting up there in the same area with Nebuchadnezzar. And the Lord basically was telling Daniel... See, Daniel was in it, but not of it. And he was just sitting there. He knew God was going to do a miracle here. He wasn't required to bow. He was up there on the platform. All right? Now, wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Well, he wasn't going to. That was just a gesture, you know. They said that often so the king wouldn't have to worry about somebody assassinating him. If it meant anything. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image, the symbol of the one world government. And what do you have in the Word of God in the book of Revelation? That the second beast will make an image to the first beast, requiring that everyone worship it. And I will tell you this, they've already got a whole bunch of little images of the beast running around out here. Just as we are made in the image of God, the people of this generation, of this country, in this world, are made like unto the beast. They talk like the beast. They think like the beast. They act like the beast. They hear what the beast has to say. These people are given over their images of the beast himself. That's why they do what they do and say what they say. That's why they are in the frenzy they are in, clamoring after more and more pleasure. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. They're rehearsing this in front of Nebuchadnezzar. All right? There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods. Sounds like Old Testament Christians to me. Nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They do not cooperate. They do not assimilate. They stand opposed. Literally, stand opposed. Think of that. They estimate that there were 3.5 million people that had gathered. As far as you could see, there were people. About four times the size, well, I'd say three times the size of Milwaukee metro area. All went down. Except three stood there. Kind of reminds me of the incident that happened John will like this. In the army, there were, he's an old military man. There were 50 new recruits. You know how sergeants will bark out these orders? The sergeant said, "I want all of you idiots to take 3 steps forward." And everybody did except one guy, a young guy from Louisiana. And the sergeant was enraged, and he walked up to him, looked him right in the face, and before he could say a word, the young man from Louisiana said, "There sure are a lot of them, aren't there?" He wasn't going to be numbered with them. He said, "Idiots, the idiots came," you know. It's the same thing here. I'm not going to march to their drummer. I don't want that. I'm not going to listen to their music. I'm not going to bow to their idols. I don't want what they've got, because God hath done something for my soul, and I'm going to declare it. And that's what these men were doing, declaring what God had done for their souls. We need to declare. You know, they did a study and they determined that the average person speaks 11 million words per year. I think I've known a few that do better than that. Motor mouth, they call them, you know. Average of 11 million words, you think about that. How many of those words come forth saying, "Lord, save me"? "Lord, I repent." 11 million words a year from billions of people around the world. And how many times is that ever heard? How many times do you ever hear a preacher in these big denominational churches say, "Repent, the wrath of God is coming. Get down on your knees, cry out to God, be filled with the Holy Ghost." These are words that count. These are words that mean something. When you can reach up and say, "Lord, fill me with thy Spirit. Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Baptize me, O God, with the fire from heaven." If we're going to use 11 million words a year, we better make some of them count. Whew, because a lot of them are wasted. By our words we are justified, and by our words we are condemned. And so here, Nebuchadnezzar is about to become very, very angry. When he heard that they wouldn't bow down, it says in verse 13, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, 'Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?'" Now let me say this again, I've said it before. Some people have asked me, you know, we don't want the system. Where do we go? Some banana republic somewhere? Little island somewhere? The Lord said, "Occupy till I come." The point is, we can interact, and sometimes we must, as long as we live in this world. We interact, but we do not cooperate. We do not give our heart to the system. When I go and fill my car up with gas, if I'm up there at the BP station, I don't give my heart to the gas pump. Right? I put it in and burn it up and forget it. Oh, but they're getting your money. They're the ones who printed it. See, we got to think this thing through. You can interact without cooperating. When you cooperate, it means to yield yourself to it. We don't have to do that. These men were in Babylon here, and they weren't yielding. They interacted without yielding. Now, he says, he's going to give them a second chance. He says, "Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well." Well, that wouldn't be hard to do, would it? Just bow down. And everything, great. "But if ye worship not," notice, worship, give your heart. Worship means to give your heart. Praise means to compliment. Worship means to give your heart. He was calling for worship. You watch. Obama will be calling for worship. Watch. I guarantee it. He's already implying it. People are already doing it. That donkey walking up Locust Street in Iowa on Inauguration Day in Des Moines, they had an image of Obama sitting on that donkey and they were laying palm branches down in front of it. Obama proudly said, "Contrary to popular belief, I wasn't born in a manger." On the 73rd day, I will rest. Listen to him talk if you can. Better get your Pepto-Bismol out, though. Enough to turn your stomach around. "But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." And now notice this. "And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Did you detect a little pride there? Ever listen to Rahm Emanuel talk? Well, you probably wouldn't want to because every fourth or fifth word is four letters starting with an F. Sorry, but that's true. And he'll get right up. This guy has, he's like a retired teacher. He has no class at all. He'll get up in front of the Congress and start using obscene finger gestures to them. How did somebody like that ever get into power? You know, the devil said, "Yeah, this world's delivered to me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it." And Jesus didn't argue with him. For a time, Satan is running his course, but he knows his time is almost up. And what really troubles him is he doesn't know when. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar." Now notice they didn't say live forever, did they? "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter." In other words, they're saying, "We don't even have to think about this one." They didn't say, "Give us some time to think. Let us go and pray about it." No, we're not even going to give it a thought. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able." See, he had done something for their souls. "To deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not," in other words, if he chooses not to, "be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods." Barak. Come on. His name even sounds Babylonian, Barak. Ever notice Shadrach, Meshach? And you know, and those weren't their real names. They're Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were their Hebrew names. Always had that hard sound. "Nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." They're saying, "We're not going to do it." "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated." In other words, seven times hotter than it usually was. This guy was insanely angry. These three were ruining everything. You see, if even one would speak up in this mixed up, crazy world and declare what God has done for their soul, then that thought lives. It only takes one voice. John the Baptist came as a voice crying in the wilderness. What? A voice. One voice is all it takes to make a thought live. If one will declare what God hath done for their soul, his or her soul, then the thought lives. The truth lives. It's declared. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. That's what God does. He'll loose you. The world will try to bind you, but God will cut you loose. He'll use his fire to burn you loose. That's what the Holy Ghost fire will do. It'll burn the bonds off. Come on. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. That's where the people of God need to be, right in the middle of the fire. God turned that fire into his fire. And they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. God had converted that to his fire. And he came right down there and joined them. And it brought a great shaking up to that whole Babylonian realm. It was such a notable miracle. I don't have time to even finish reading it. We're just about out of time here for the recording. But I will tell you that what an example this is for us to declare that the Lord hath done something for our souls. We have nothing to show off. We have no glitter or glitz, or we don't have any symbols. We don't have a lot of fancy things. I don't want a lot of fancy things. The Lord will sustain us, but I will declare, I will tell you, the Lord has done something for my soul. Somebody asked John D. Rockefeller one time, how much money is enough? He said, a little more. They said to him, how much do you have? He said, I don't know. He said, if you know how much you've got, you're not wealthy. He said, I don't know. Well, I don't care about any of those things. Again, I say, I don't want to dance with their stars. I don't want to know who their American Idol is. I don't want their immunizations. I don't want their whiskey. I don't want their drugs. I don't want their entertainment. I don't want what this world has to offer. What I do want to declare is God has done something for my soul, and it's called filling me with the Holy Ghost. Now, anybody can receive the Holy Ghost. If you reach out and ask the Lord for it, he will hear you. He may not do it immediately, but he might. But he will do it because he's promised. How many people are using those 11 million words in a year to even ask him? Duane, you ready to come up and lead us in a chorus or two? Hallelujah. Father in heaven, help us, Lord, to take these words to heart and to declare before this whole world that thou hast done something wonderful for our souls. Keep us, Lord, from the evil of this world. Let thy name be glorified, and let the fullness of thy salvation come to thy people. O Lord, let thy people cry out to be filled with thy Spirit, for nothing else matters, and all other things will perish. But Lord, thou hast given us eternal life. Fill us with thy holy fire and help us to walk in thy ways. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.